Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Today, we continue our study, the life of Joseph. We're going to pick up today where we left off 2 weeks ago on the Easter before, or the Sunday before Easter. The Easter before Sunday is what came out there. It didn't quite come out the way I expected. But we are continuing our study, as I said, the life of Joseph. You know, it's amazing how one day life can be so good and the next day life can be so bad. The ups and downs, you know, the highs and the lows. And sometimes it's because of our own doing and sometimes it's just because of life. Have you ever heard somebody say life happens? You know, it does. The ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. Today we're going to talk about the circumstances and what they do to affect our lives. We begin in Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Of course, we're speaking of Joseph, and Joseph has just been placed into prison. It says, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. He was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look to anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came to them, and Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them. And he saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We each have a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.'" We're going to stop right there. Let's again look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. You may be seated. Now, we know Joseph began with a very, very good life. We know that Joseph was his father's favorite son. Out of all his brothers, his father loved Joseph the most. And he didn't have a problem with showing it. As a matter of fact, we're familiar with the coat of many colors and how his father honored Joseph by giving him that coat. And that said, "You are the one, Joseph. You are the man. You're going to be the one that I leave all my material and family to. You're going to be the guy." So life began very well for Joseph. But then his brothers were jealous. One day they saw their opportunity. They threw him in a pit. And ultimately they wind up, out of jealousy and hatred, selling Joseph to some Midianite traders who were going to Egypt. So they sell him. Sold their brother. Life is bad. Joseph arrives in Egypt and he's bought by a man named Potiphar, where he becomes a full-time slave. Life's bad. Joseph served so well, and the Lord blessed Joseph so much that he worked his way up through the house of Potiphar so that he was the one in command. He was second only to Potiphar himself. Life's getting better. But then one day, Potiphar's wife, the Bible says, cast longing eyes upon Joseph. That means she lusted after him. Day after day, she lusted after Joseph. Day after day, Joseph put off her advances, until finally she cornered him and she demanded. Joseph ran out of the house, leaving his coat behind. Potiphar's wife was so furious that she accused him of attempted rape. And of course, you know what results next. Potiphar's anger was kindled. And Potiphar now cast Joseph into prison. And at 21 years old, roughly, give or take a year, this kid is 21 years old. He hears the prison door slam behind him. He's been through life that he had to have thought, you know, it can't get any worse than this. Have you ever thought that? Life cannot get any worse than this. Have you? Then what happened? It got worse, didn't it? Okay? That's what happened to Joseph. I mean, this is at an all-time low for Joseph. And what we're going to learn today is things that you need to know when the circumstances of life overwhelm you. And the first thing that I want you to know is your circumstances will never change your God. And your God is always faithful. Always faithful. The Lord was with Joseph, it said. As I said, he's at an all-time low. Yet we read the words, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. I actually like the New American Standard translation, the way they translate this verse. It says, the Lord extended kindness to Joseph. Literally, to put it in our language, or let me give you the Doug Hambrick translation. It says, the Lord reached out with kindness or mercy to Joseph. Have you ever been in that position where you're at an all-time low? You don't know what's going to happen. You know that if it doesn't get any better, life just is horrible. And then God reach out to you with a hand of mercy and kindness. That's what happens here. God reaches out to Joseph in loyal love and caring. And even though Joseph is at that time where things are horrible, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that his God is still God and that his God is still faithful. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. And here's, you need to remember this one. When times get bad, are you a child of God, first of all? Oh, come on. You'd be a little more excited about being a child of God than that. Are you a child of God? Amen. Amen. Are you ready to do battle? Because you're going to have to do battle. Okay? Remember ups and downs of life? Remember this verse. This is a great one. You can't say this without swelling up and saying, my God is great. Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, he said, for I am persuaded. That word persuaded is fully convinced. I am fully convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You need to know that if you're in the pit, if you're in the prison, it does not change the faithfulness of your Almighty God, and Satan himself cannot take away what you have in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? You can't quote Romans 8:38 without swelling up and say, God, you are good. You are good, God. God is always faithful. Even though circumstances have you at a low, God is still God. And God always favors His children. You see, in the text, it says God gave Joseph favor with the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison was so impressed with Joseph. As a matter of fact, he saw the things that Joseph did, and everything that Joseph did seemed to prosper. And Joseph's testimony was, it's not because of me, it's because of the God that I serve. And so Potiphar says, God's blessing this kid, I'm just going to put everything in his care. So that's what happened. Can you believe it? Now I want you to stop and think right here. Can you believe Joseph is at an all-time low, and God is still blessing in prison? Stop and think about it. He's at an all-time low, and God is still good. You see, prison was the last place Joseph wanted to be. And if he had a choice, he would not be there. As a matter of fact, I am certain that he did not get up one morning and say, God, I just wish you'd make me a slave today. And I just wish you'd throw me in the deepest, darkest prison. He never prayed that prayer. How? But even though that's the circumstances of his life, God's still good. You see, and the reason I point that out is because I think that sometimes we forget that God is always good. And we have trouble seeing the blessings and the favor of Almighty God. You see, the keeper of the prison, he favored Joseph because of God. God put him in that position to be blessed. You know what most of us would do? If we're in this position of being in prison, most of us would fold our arms and just say, I don't like where I am. Wouldn't we? You ever done that? Lord, I don't like it here. Get me out. Get me out now. Lord, I can't take this. This is not the way I'm supposed to. This is not the way life's supposed to go. No, listen. God knows what He's doing. And even when you're at those all-time lows, look for the blessings of God. Don't back up when you're in that prison environment or in the pit and don't back up and say, well, God, I don't want the blessings here. Lord, I don't like where I am. I don't like what's going on. And Lord, I'm not going to do anything. That's what most of us do, isn't it? Listen. If you don't see God's favor, life's lows get lower and lower. If you can't recognize that even though it's bad, God is still good. And He's still kind and merciful to you. If you can't go through these circumstances of life with that attitude, oh, these circumstances of life are going to overwhelm you. I've often heard people ask, how are you doing? I think I heard someone say it this morning. I don't remember who it was, but you ask, how are you doing? And they say, oh, better than I deserve. Amen. 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 God is merciful. God is good. God is... You've got to have that knowledge that no matter what's going on in your life, there are always blessings. Oh, Lord, there are no blessings. Oh, Brother Doug, there are no blessings in my life. Oh, you're wrong. You're upright, aren't you? How many of you are upright today? Pretty much we all are, right? You think it couldn't get worse? Oh, yes, it can. Look for the blessings. Look for God's favor and God's faithfulness. Second thing I want you to look for is I want you to know that circumstances do not change your service. There's always opportunity. You see, old Joseph was taking advantage of an opportunity that God set before him by being a faithful servant in prison. While he was in prison, the butler and the baker, it said, offended their lord, the Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh, we don't know what they did, but we know that they made Pharaoh angry. And Pharaoh threw him into the prison. And guess what? Guess who's the boss of the jail? Old Joseph. But what's really interesting is that if you read in verse 4, even though Joseph was large and in charge, it says he served them. He served them. Wait a minute. That's just backwards. Yeah? And what's really neat, if you look up the Hebrew word used there in verse 4, it literally means to minister. Joseph ministered to the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. Boy, I don't know about you, but I would be tempted to back up and say, well, boys, welcome to prison. Do the best you can. But oh, Joseph, different attitude. And I'm reminded, you know what? Joseph was on his way to greatness. And I think Joseph knew he was on his way to greatness. And I think he knew a secret, that secret shared in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. When Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he said, you're not going to be like the Gentiles, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let's read this together. Let him be your servant. Oh, isn't that cool? Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Joseph knew the secret. And that secret was, your responsibilities don't change just because your circumstances do. You are responsible to take advantage of what God has set before you right where you are. Do not waste the time. Every day is an opportunity. You see, people, we spend a lot of time waiting for things to get just right and waiting for things to line up just so that everything will be just right so that we can smoothly transition into our ministry. No, it's never been easy. It's never been smooth serving the Lord. Listen, I don't care if you're in prison. I don't care if you're in church. I don't care if you work on Sundays. I don't care where you are. You need to just back up and say, hey, today is the day that God has given me, and I'm going to be faithful no matter where I am. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give God the glory if it's in prison or if it's in the palace. So many people are waiting till they retire so they can be active in the Lord's work. Oh, you are wasting your time. If you're not active in the Lord's work now, you won't be active when the Lord's work when you retire. You won't. It's serve where you are today, and there's always an opportunity. Be faithful. Oh, but Brother Doug, you don't understand what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Your God knows where you are. And you're there for a reason. You may not know the reason, but God knows. Take advantage of the opportunity where God places you. What about at work? You know, I hear people say, oh, I hate my job. You ever heard people say, I hate my job? Well, it doesn't matter if you hate it or not. You like eating and paying the electric bill, amen? Right? There's the blessing. Secondly, how are you serving in that job? Yeah? God has you there for a reason. And that reason is not always that you'll like where you are. But there may be someone where you are who needs to see a testimony of who Jesus is. Serve where you are. The other thing I want you to know is that today's opportunity opens the doors for tomorrow. You know, the butler and the baker, it says, they were placed under the care of Joseph, and he ministers to them. And they one day had dreams. Did not know what the dreams meant. And Joseph comes in and he sees, oh, guys, what's wrong? I just imagine I would have responded, hey, I'm in prison. That's what's wrong. But Joseph comes in, "Why are you guys sad today?" They said, "Because we've had a dream and there's no one to interpret our dream." Joseph cared enough to say, "Okay, share that dream with me. The interpretation belongs to God. Will you please share that dream with me?" And so they begin to share. And I want to point out to you, you want to know why these guys shared with Joseph? I'm absolutely convinced they shared with Joseph because they had learned to trust him from day to day because he ministered to them. You want to win the people you work with? You faithfully minister them day to day to day. And what you're going to find is, as your testimony is established every day at your job and in your life, people are learning that this guy's faithful, this guy knows God, or this lady knows God. And then when there is a challenge in their life, guess who they're going to come to? They're going to come to you because they know you serve God. And that's what happened in the life of Joseph. He's been faithful. He set an example. He served others. And now they're sharing with Joseph, "Joseph, here's our dream." The butler had a dream. It said there was a vine that bloomed and brought forth clusters of grapes. It says the butler said that he took those clusters of grapes and squeezed them into the cup and gave the cup to Pharaoh. And Joseph said, "Okay, I can tell you what that dream means. That dream means that in 3 days, you'll be restored to your position as Pharaoh's butler." Wonderful. Wonderful. The baker was all encouraged about that. So he said, "Let me tell you my dream." And Joseph said, "Okay, tell me your dream." He said, "I was carrying 3 baskets on my head. And in the top basket, there were all sorts of baked goods. And the birds came and ate the baked goods out of that basket." Joseph said, "Okay, I'll tell you, but you're not going to like it." He didn't say that. I added that, okay? He said, "Okay, I'll tell you." And he said, "What's going to happen to you is Pharaoh's going to lift your head from you. He's going to hang you on a tree. And the bird's going to eat your flesh. You're going to die." Whew. Boy, what's scary. And you want to know what's really good? It happened. It happened to both these guys. And because of Joseph's faithfulness, God opens 2 doors. Here's what I want to point out to you, okay? Today's opportunity opens tomorrow's doors. He had the opportunity to minister to these men today and introduce them to his great God. And I even, you know, this doesn't say this, but every once in a while my mind wonders and I can't help it. But I kind of wonder, you know, even the guy that he told, you're going to die. You know what? I bet Joseph spent the next 3 days ministering to that guy. Introducing him to the God that he knew. But this also opens a huge door that we're going to be looking at next week. You see, because of his faithfulness in prison, Joseph is going to advance before Pharaoh and have the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And ultimately, he's going to wind up being second in command only to Pharaoh over all Egypt. Why? Because he was faithful today. See, we don't understand that. We don't understand how important our faithfulness is. And our willingness to serve no matter where we are is. You know, we use the verse, "Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's going to be a harvest. And if you plant good seed, there's going to be a good harvest. If you plant wicked seed, bad seed, there's going to be a harvest of wickedness. But here's what we forget. What if we don't plant? What if we don't plant? "Well, I'm in prison. I can't plant." Yes, you can. "Or, Brother Doug, I'm old. I can't plant." Yes, you can. "I'm too young." Yes, you can. If you don't plant, there's not a harvest. I grew up on a farm. Okay? Now, I'm not the most intelligent farmer that you've ever seen, but I do have this much down. If you don't plant it, you're not going to get anything at the end of the harvest season, right? It's not going to happen. Serve where you are so that there'll be a harvest tomorrow. Then finally, I want you to understand your circumstances will change you. Oh, no, Brother Doug, they won't. Oh, yes, they will. Okay? Did you notice Joseph's request? When he told the butler, he said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. And he said, I want to tell you, please remember me. I should not be here. I was sold into slavery. I haven't done anything deserving to be in this prison. Please mention me before Pharaoh. And the butler said, okay, I'll do it. Can you imagine? All right. 3 days later, the word comes down. Joseph's still the boss of the prison. The word comes down. Let the butler go. Pharaoh has given him a reprieve, and Joseph comes running through the halls of the prison. Listen, guy, it's happening. It's the third day. I told you this was going to happen. Pharaoh has said, it's time for you to go. You're going back to Pharaoh. It's all good. In the back of his mind, he's thinking, yes, this is my avenue. This is the guy that's going to present me as he stands before Pharaoh and say, you need to get this young Hebrew out of your prison. This is the guy. I helped him. And so he's going to help me, I have no doubt. So he opens that door, lets the butler out. Remember me. Don't forget me. I'm back here in this prison. Don't forget me. Joseph closed the door and he watches that butler leave. And chapter 40, verse 23. Day one, Joseph hears nothing. Day two, Joseph hears nothing. A day turns into a week. A week turns into a month. A month turns into a year. Nothing happens. You know why? Chapter 40, verse 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Boy, how sad. How sad. You know, here's where it really gets dicey. When you think, okay, I'm almost at the end. About to make it through. And then you take 3 steps back or something happened. It's like starting all over. You think, oh, Lord, I can't continue like this. Lord, I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Keep the faith. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep serving. Keep taking advantage of every opportunity. Because see, one of two things are going to happen. You'll either get tired and quit. Or you'll get tough and stay the course. You see, that's what we're lacking in society today, in our culture today. People is willing to stay the course. That's why, you know, and I don't know what the latest figures. Last figure I heard was 1 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. I don't know what it is. I haven't heard lately. But that's why. It's just too easy. When it gets tough, it's too easy not to try anymore. That's why, you know, people drop out of church and you hear people all the time say, well, I went to this church and they hurt my feelings and I'll never darken the door of a church again. How silly is that? How silly is that? Have you ever eaten anything bad that made you sick? Well, I'll never eat again. No, you don't do that. You get over it. When you get to feeling a little better, you get back up to the table and say, fill my plate. Listen. James chapter 2. Chapter 1, verses 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, this is a verse of Scripture that we, you know, yes, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But listen, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word patience is steadfastness. Okay? That means you'll stick to it. The testing of your faith will make you a person that will stick with it. Joseph was not ready to get out of prison yet. If he was ready to get out of prison yet, God would have got him out of prison. But guess what? He's not ready yet. He needs two more years. Why, Brother Doug, does he need two more years? Because he's learning how to endure and stay with it. God knew he needed these lessons. That's why he said, but let patience have its perfect or its complete work in you, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. See, here's what we forget. We forget that God is building something out of you. And I mean, let's face it. Let's be real. Let's look. God doesn't really have much to work with. Right? But God knows how to work. And He knows how to take this old unfaithful Doug Hambrick who's always, you know, quitting and backing off and making poor choices. He knows how to take me and mold me. He knows exactly what I need when I need it. And He's faithful to provide it. And He knows the same thing about you. You may be in the prison today and you're thinking, God, have you forgotten me? No, He's not forgotten you. He's not. Oh God, I don't know if I can stand it. I'll answer that question. No, you can't stand it. But the God that is your shield can carry you through when you can't stand it anymore. Listen, my friends, life is life. Joseph's experiencing firsthand the ups and downs. Wherever you are, you be faithful, no matter what. That's God's expectation. That's what God expects from you. You may be here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to ask you a question. How are you fighting the battles of life? Well, Brother Doug, I'm doing the best I can. I want to tell you, I do the best I can, and it's not very good. I need God. I need God every day. I need a Savior that extends His mercy and His grace because I am a sinner. And I have fallen short of the glory of God. And so I've committed my life to Jesus. I've asked Jesus to be my Lord and be my Savior. Why? Because I can't fight these battles alone. And I don't care who we are. You mean, Brother Doug, you have battles to fight? Amen. You know, from the pulpit to the pew, we all fight them. We're all fighting the battles. But what I know is my God is faithful. Are you a child of God? Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation is for you. Maybe you're here today and you're in that prison state. No fault of your own. You haven't done anything wrong. But this is just life. Maybe you just need to spend time at this altar with the Lord. Whatever your need is today, I can offer you this advice from the heart of the preacher. Jesus is the answer. If you need strength, Jesus is the answer. If you need salvation, Jesus is the answer. If you've gone as far as you can go and you need somebody to carry you, Jesus is the answer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You for this example of Joseph and a reminder that, Lord, we can't fight these battles on our own. But we know we can be faithful no matter the battles we're fighting. So, Lord, I just pray that today, Lord, for those in this service who do not know You as their personal Savior, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. I pray, Lord, for those in this service who are fighting the battles. Lord, without You, there is no chance. So, Lord, we turn to You and I pray for Your strength in their life. For Your encouragement in their life. For You are faithful. And I pray that as we come to this invitation, dear Lord, Your will be done. Your name be praised and glorified above all names. In Jesus' name I pray.